In a lair in the ground, there lived a succubus. This was not a nasty, dirty, wet lair, with barely a stool to sit on or book to read, nor yet a dry, bare, sandy lair, with nothing to lie down and make love on. This was a succubus's lair, and that meant comfort. Its existence was not apparent to outsiders, the entrance being disguised by illusion magic to onlookers at all times, except when entering or exiting the lair. When the magic was removed, one entered into a nicely tiled hallway, with lots of shelves and pegs for shoes, hats, and coats. The succubus was very fond of fashion, you see. At the end of this wide tunnel stood a spiral wooden staircase, leading down to the living area of this lair. Bedrooms, bathrooms, wardrobes, pantries, kitchens, living rooms, all were on this floor. All nicely arranged, well stocked, and when appropriate, carpeted with soft, fluffy carpet that the succubus liked so much. She even had an entire room dedicated to sex toys, where an unsuspecting human could easily be brought in through a second smaller hole from above, and there be persuaded to part with some of their life essence in order to feed the succubus. For she required frequent meals from the humans in order to sustain her youth and magical abilities. If a succubus should go without essence for too long, she may even perish. Thankfully, such measures had become far less necessary in these times, since the population had started to turn its back on an overly strict church and follow a more relaxed realization of sexuality. This particular succubus was even cherished by many of the lonely and poor in the city, for she provided much-needed compassion and comfort, merely in return for some life-giving energy. In time, this succubus became so good at her craft that she soon developed powerful and magical abilities, and a beauty only previously told of in legend. She possessed exceptionally long and beautiful horns, even for a succubus, that curled nicely downwards and around the side of her head, able to change colour from a dark black all the way to a pinkish red, indicating her mood. From the top of her head, almost all the way to the floor, flowed her long, silky, smooth hair. It was so long, in fact, that she would often use it to bind her considerable bust, creating a makeshift brassiere of sorts that men would love to untangle and watch her breasts fall out of. The succubus also liked changing her hair colour so much that one couldn't really be sure what her natural hair colour truly was. Behind her long hair was hidden the firmest and shapeliest exterior of any creature in existence, and below that flowed long, strong legs, with just the slightest hint of a thigh gap visible. But even her legs may not be enough to distract any onlookers from her large, dark wings, that at first glance could seem quite similar to bat wings. They were thin, bony, and covered in a fine layer of dark purple and reddish skin, making the succubus look ever so imposing when she did unfurl them. Succubi, however, are not great flying creatures. If they did mean to fly long distances, it would require them to develop great chest and back muscles, similar to birds. Something that may be quite a hindrance if your main goal is to seduce humans through your stunning human-like figure. No, rather these wings were used as a means to glide, silently, between tall structures, make the occasional silent and graceful descent, and also to add to that otherworldly beauty. Indeed, she was so beautiful, it is said that even the king himself could not resist her company, much to the dismay of his wife, until she also happened to be visited by this succubus one night. It may come as no surprise, then, that she also had suitors of her own kind. Suitors in form of the male incubus, an exceptionally rare creature, only known to humans through the detailed reports of witch hunters, where it is said they immediately possess the minds of any they deem troublesome, compelling them to leave on the spot, but otherwise not causing any harm. The succubus soon found herself in a position to spend a long time with the most handsome, charming, strong, and loving incubus she had ever known. In turn, this resulted in the most passionate conception and the birth of a much-loved child. Yet sadly, this also ultimately meant the father had to move on. For such was their duty, and the way of an incubus. Men were in short supply. But this departure still pained even more than any other they had to conclude previously. They both wept as he disappeared into the night, and she hoped to eventually see him again. Now she was independent once more, still as strong and cunning as she was previously, but also feeling a sense of loneliness, and she knew none of her human relationships could hope to fill that void. Thus she turned all her efforts to raise the child she was so happy to have been gifted. This sweet child now received her undivided attention and affection, as she would harvest greater and greater amounts of essence to feed him. Yes, him. She was lucky enough to give birth to an incubus, a delight for a succubus mother, yet also an enormous responsibility, as an incubus was more demanding and intricate to raise. But she knew, if she did her duty well, her young boy could become a most powerful magical being, able to control whole hosts of humans and even other magical creatures at will. And thus, she made sure he had more than everything he needed to grow into the greatest version of an incubus this land had ever known. She built him his very own room, with that soft, fluffy carpet she was sure he would like just as much, and fed him copious amounts of her milk, that he may grow well. And indeed he did. Before long, he grew to be a most handsome and clever young boy, and in return, brought great happiness to his mother. He lies now sleeping in this room built for him, sleeping peacefully, dreaming of lust and obscenity as he awaits his mother's return.